Good morning. I want to start things off just a little bit different. So, if you would, I'd like everybody to close your eyes. And there's this tactic that a cousin of mine taught me. So what I want you to do is I want you to breathe in through your nose as deep as you can for 4 seconds, and then breathe out through your mouth for 4 seconds. Just concentrate on that in and out breathing. Now that you're doing so, I want you to focus on your heart. Can you feel it beating in your chest? Can you hear it? You see, this quiet time with your heart is exactly what God is after. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Father God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for what you've been showing me this week, Lord, and I just thank you for how you're moving in my life, Lord, and I thank you for the excitement that you're giving me, Lord, that I can stand up here and hopefully share your word that you've given me this week, Lord, what you've shown me in my own life, Lord, and I pray that somebody hears it and that it sets them free, Lord Jesus. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So life has a way of getting chaotic, just busy, stressful, flat out overwhelming at times. It feels as if everything in your life is demanding your attention at the same time, all the time. It's just crazy. You may even find yourself bouncing from crisis to crisis to crisis with no end in sight. We all have finances and work and marriage, kids, sickness, even the loss of someone we care about. Throw on top of that our daily and personal spiritual struggles, our personality faults, and our secret sins. Now we've got utter chaos. Or maybe you're in a season of no's, to where everything you want or you've dreamed of is answered with no. That's right, baby girl. The reality of life at times looks nothing like what we had dreamed, imagined, or even hoped for. For the past 2 months, I've been battling with all of the above. I'm even guilty of just wanting to throw my hands up and just quit trying. To be honest, that's exactly why I'm standing here today, in a sense. See, 2 weeks ago, my chaos came to a head. My life was feeling out of control and crazy, and I was growing more and more numb inside. My relationship with God and my prayer life were hit or miss at best. Honestly, I even felt ashamed to even pray or talk to God, for that matter. I even had the thought, God's ashamed of me anyway, so why even bother? So 2 Sundays ago, I decided, okay, I'll talk to God. After all, I'm on my way to church, so it seemed appropriate. My prayer started out very surface with all the things you're supposed to pray. And then it turned into me venting my frustrations and complaints. And by the time I pulled into the parking lot out here, I was flat out yelling at God. My prayer ended by me yelling, "God, what do you want me to do?" And I slammed the truck door and came inside. Very holy, right? Yeah. So, it was a powerful message, and the worship was great. But it didn't take me long to fall right back into my chaos. You see, I'd gone back in the hall and shaking hands and hugging like we always do, and then I came back into the sanctuary just to find both of my kids were screaming and my wife had an overwhelmed look on her face. So, I'm sure y'all can relate. So anyway, I grabbed up my oldest daughter and she was screaming she wanted to ride home with Grammy, which 5 minutes before that she didn't, so... I grabbed her up and I ran outside and found that her Grammy was still in the car, hadn't left yet. So I got her buckled in and even thought to myself, you know, that was probably a teaching moment that I missed. But crisis averted nonetheless. So I no sooner turned around from buckling her in the car, and I turn around and I see Jim walking to me in the parking lot. For one, if y'all see Preacher Jim in the parking lot, something's wrong. But as soon as I turned around and I saw him coming towards me, I knew in my heart that he was coming to ask me to speak. And I thought to myself, God, that's not funny. That's not funny at all. You see, God had answered my prayer, just not quite the way I was expecting. But I knew in my heart that I was at a crossroads. It's kind of like that movie scene, you know, when there's just the dramatic pause and you know that there's a shift coming. Looking back, it was kind of like that, you know. So as I stood in the back with Jim and Angie, and we were confirming the date on the calendar, every ounce of my flesh wanted to run and hide. But in my spirit, I knew that this was God and he was waiting on my answer. I could feel God asking me, what will you choose, fear or faith? Even though I was not in any kind of position to stand up here and teach or even speak, I decided to choose faith because deep down I knew that if I didn't, I was going to miss out on something God wanted for me. And the band, we played second service as well. So in second service, you know, Jim's doing announcements and he reads a scripture. And when he read this scripture out loud, this was my confirmation. It's Philippians 2, 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. Man, that hit me big time. You see, I had allowed my hardships and my circumstances to beat me down, losing sight of my purpose. And then, in fact, turning my goals and my dreams into selfish wants. I found myself in the midst of a spiritual temper tantrum. And God's standing here asking me, are you finished yet? Because whenever you're done, we can move forward. I'm thinking, man, this is getting real. So this was a very sobering moment for me. And now that God had gotten my attention and had called me out and had called me into something bigger than myself, God was inviting me back into the relationship that I had somehow abandoned. But how did I get here? How? I spent the next week seeking God again in quiet times, praying for direction and what he wanted me to speak about. I was plugged in and I was feeling much better. I'd pretty much compiled all my talking points around the lesson, and then last Friday morning, God flipped the script. I was in the middle of reviewing my lesson, and I felt God say, this is good. This is really good. But I want to deal with you. What? But God, I'm almost finished. God said, I want you to talk about what's going on in your heart. Once again, I found myself staring down the middle of a choice, fear or faith. I thought, God, what are you doing? So this got me really thinking, this fear of faith. It started to show itself in more and more situations daily, and God was obviously trying to show me something. So I decided to dive in and see. Little did I know where it would lead me, and God was about to do a little heart surgery on me. You see, fear and faith, by basic definition, are very, very similar to one another. They are both the belief that something will happen that has not happened yet. So if that's the case, what makes them different? If you Google fear, you'll find hundreds of definitions, but I want to talk about fear as an overall emotion today. You see, fear is false evidence appearing real. false evidence appearing real. Other words or synonyms for fear or terror, fright, alarm, panic, distress. See, fear hinders the fullness in our life. It also places a filter of distorted perspective over our minds. Fear produces anxiety, which produces worry, which affects the way that we view our life. And eventually, distrust and lack of faith take over. Faith, on the other hand, is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. You see, faith enhances the fullness in our life. It fills us with confidence and hope and an overall trust in the goodness of life. Some other descriptive words for faith are synonyms are trust, belief, confidence, conviction, hope. Good things. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." See, the difference in fear and faith is one is rooted in worry and the other is rooted in hope. One brings us sorrow and the other brings us joy and love. And it's interesting that they are so similar in basic definition, but in reality they are polar opposites. God is the author of faith and the enemy is the author of fear. The enemy wants to increase our fear so that our faith decreases, and God wants to increase our faith so that our fear decreases. With that said, you can't have both at the same time. We got to choose fear or faith. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment." John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So track with me for just a moment. I was talking with a good friend and mentor of mine the other day, and he brought up something I hadn't really thought of before. See, we as humans by design are made up of flesh, soul, and spirit. The flesh being our bodies, our soul being our mind and our emotions, and our spirit. And because of our nature, the flesh desires the world, but the spirit desires God. And our mind, on the other hand, will gravitate in the direction of one or the other, depending on your focus. Andrew touched on this a few weeks ago. So when temptations and hardships arise, it makes sense that our flesh would grab the focus of our soul and outnumber our spirit. Because our flesh is deeply committed to relief and comfort. But Jesus is deeply committed to our spirit's refinement. He's committed to growing us and maturing us in His likeness. So when we find ourselves in these choose fear or faith moments, we have to make a conscious decision in our spirit to choose faith, or our flesh will automatically choose fear every time. So the breathing exercise that I had you guys do just a few minutes ago. I had a cousin who was a sergeant in the sheriff's department. And they were trained that when they got into a scary situation that they didn't necessarily want to deal with, you can feel your heart flutter and your mind's going crazy. There's fog everywhere. You don't know what's going on. So in order to clear that, breathe in for 4 seconds, breathe out for 4 seconds. What that does, it sounds crazy, but you're actually supplying oxygen to your brain. So that oxygen clears out the fog so that you can actually think clearly. So by doing this 4-4 exercise, they're allowing themselves to think through the situation, because if they do not do this, they will run from the fear every time. So by doing this exercise, it gives them the strength and the courage to run headlong into it. I'm sure there's some military tactic that's very similar to that. So fear. It may not show itself as fear on the surface every time. But if we really do inventory on why we make the decisions that we make, fear is often the culprit. Fear disguises itself. Maybe you don't leave the house for fear of getting in an accident. Or maybe you don't talk to people in town for fear of sounding stupid. Maybe you don't voice that idea at work or ask that person on a date for fear of rejection. Maybe it's deeper than that. Maybe you don't go to that doctor's appointment for fear of the results. Or maybe you've gotten the results and you don't want to go through with the treatment for fear that it won't work. Or maybe you're sitting here thinking, I don't have any fear. When really, your pride is a cover-up for the fear of letting others in. Fear has a way of disguising itself so it doesn't look like fear. God says this about fear. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. See, there's hope in that verse for us, but hope can be a tricky one as well. Hope, by definition, is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Hope is good, but it's not faith. Think of faith as an umbrella. If you walk around with your umbrella of faith open all the time, it doesn't matter if it rains or not. You're not going to get wet. And hope under the umbrella of faith is good. But hope by itself, you'll get wet every time. Hope without faith leaves room for doubt. God calls us to have faith in Him, to trust without a doubt that He is who He says that He is. In my life, I discovered that I had hoped for things. I had hoped that God was who He said that He was. I had hoped for bad things to not happen. But again, hope is not faith. The Bible tells us in James that our faith will be tested to develop our perseverance. James 1, 2 through 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith will develop perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Mature and complete, not lacking anything. John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. So, if our faith is going to be tested and we have no faith, then we rely on our hope to sustain us in the test, and we will fail every time. This is where God started working on me this week. I know by reading these verses I'll be tested in life, and that what I thought was faith in my life was actually hope, which was leaving room for doubt. But why? What causes me to hope instead of have true faith? Fear. I realized that I hadn't given everything in my life over to the full trust of God. But what is it I'm afraid of? Why? What? The Bible tells us, do not fear 365 times. There are 365 days in a year. I don't think this is coincidence. I think God's trying to tell us something. I think God's trying to tell us that fear and faith cannot coexist. So as we were talking and discussing before, you've got the flesh on one end of the spectrum, and you've got the spirit on the other end of the spectrum, and your mind is somewhere in between. I believe that the same thing is true about fear. Is on one end of the spectrum, and faith is on the other end of the spectrum, and hope is somewhere in the middle, and it will gravitate towards your focus. So, this image on the screen, there's a little bit of a neat story behind this. So, as God started revealing this to me, I called Laura and I was like, I got this great idea. There's this mountain and then there's this valley and there's this guy on a path and he's doing this thing. And can you make something happen, please? She's like, yeah, I'll shoot some stuff over. So she shot this over and I was floored. Because there's so much symbolism in this one picture, if you can see it. So if you notice, as Andrew talked about a couple of weeks ago, we talked about our spiritual walk and how, you know, some people think of it on a horizon line, basically, and you're either growing towards God or away from God. And then we had the conversation about being on a rope, and really you're either climbing towards God or you're slipping away. I saw that in this, and I also noticed that if you see the guy's face, it can only be focused in one area. It cannot focus on both. So he's either going to stare at the mountain of faith or he's going to look down into the valley of fear. And there's something else I want to point out about this. Depending on your perception, when you first saw it, you probably thought one of two things. You either thought he's climbing the mountain of faith or he's rappelling into the valley of fear. Now I challenge you, whichever one you thought is a heart check. Because if you're rappelling into the valley of fear, me and you need to talk. I need to give you my notes. See, Hebrews 11:6. Now without faith, it is impossible to please God. Since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. 1 John 4:16-18. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this, love is made complete with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear. Because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. So if we were to take that verse and break it down a little bit and highlight a few key points, it would read like this. God is love. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear, and the one who fears is not complete in love. If we let fear go unchecked, we wind up in a funk like me. Disconnected from God, trying to figure out what went wrong. I realized that I was only trusting God in my life with the things I was okay losing when the testing of my faith was to come. And the things that I had truly cared about, I'd given over to fear. I was stuck in the thought of, what if this testing of my faith involves me losing someone or something I deeply care about? God, I'm okay losing my job, but not my wife. I'm okay losing my house, but not my daughters. I'll trust you on my conditions. You see, when I started thinking about it, I wasn't even trusting God with his own creations that he blessed me with. I was only trusting God with the things that I could replace if they were taken away, material things. My fear was rooted in giving up full control of my life. And in my mind, giving it over to the God that I was claiming to have faith in. The truth is, I was never in control in the first place. You see, we want to have faith like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Paul. We want that faith. We want to be used by God the way that these men were used. But the problem is, we can't flip forward a few pages in our own lives to figure out how it ends. And so therefore, we convince ourselves that God doesn't work that way anymore just to justify our fear and lack of faith. When God revealed this to me, I was stunned. I started doing real inventory on my heart. How many things have I not given over to you, God? How long have I been doing this? As I began to realize all the things that I had held on to, the floodgates opened and I just cried. Here I am yelling at God for the abandonment that I was feeling because I thought He didn't care, when really I was the one holding out on Him. I'm the one piling all this crap up in my heart, which is pushing Him out. You see, we get mad at God for not blessing us. In the meantime, we walk around like nothing's wrong, wearing a mask to protect our broken hearts. And I got news for you. God can't bless who you're pretending to be. He's not going to bless your mask. I felt Jesus asking me, do you really trust me, Mike? Do you really have faith in who I am? You see, He wants us to have full faith in Him. Matthew 17:20, the disciples had just tried to drive out a demon and they couldn't. And so they're asking Jesus, you know, why could we not do this? And Jesus responds, He says, because your little faith, He told them. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain to move from here to there and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. You see, it doesn't matter how big your faith is. It just matters that it's 100% full faith. 50% faith is 100% distrust. So picture this. My youngest daughter, she's getting to the age where she'll soon be sitting up and crawling on her own. And so we put her in the floor on her stomach, you know, tummy time, so that she can get used to it. And as we put her in the floor, it's funny that her natural reaction is to start moving her arms and kicking her feet. Her natural reaction is to try to move forward. And we as parents, we get to see the progress, you know, when we put her in the floor and she's sitting up on her hands and, oh, look, you know, she's leaning up or she's sticking her butt in the air and she'll be crawling before you know it, you know. Meanwhile, Emma's in the floor crying because all she knows is the frustration of being in the floor. It feels like punishment to her. She doesn't understand. She can't see the improvements that she's making. She doesn't know that what she's struggling with today will actually give her freedom in the future. That's God's view of us. He sees us on our belly on the floor, kicking and crying, not knowing that our struggle is actually going to set us free. So what will you choose, fear or faith? Isaiah 55:9, for as heaven is higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God knows exactly how your story will end. He knows why He created you. He knows how your trials are going to shape you. Get this. If you're a believer, God can see the fully restored, fully redeemed, heavenly version of you. God knows what He's doing. He knows where we don't fully trust Him. He knows the innermost workings of your heart. He knows where we lack. And He loves us too much to let us stay there. He loves us way too much to stay idle. As I stand here, I'm proof of that. He will come after your heart with reckless love. And I love the lyrics at the end of that song. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. You see, when we think of Jesus rescuing our heart, we have this soft, I guess is the best word, picture of Jesus, you know, white robe and just dainty. But I want to show you a picture that I found this week that speaks to me of the Jesus that's coming after my heart. You see, He looks rough right here, but He died on the cross for you, and He literally went through hell and conquered it to come on the other side for you to see this image of Him and know that that's the Jesus that will defend you. That's the Jesus that wants to love you. That's the Rambo Jesus that is coming after your heart. Tate, you guys can go ahead and start coming up as I'm getting ready to close. Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. I will go before you and level the uneven places. I will shatter the bronze doors and cut the iron bars in two. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the riches from secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord. I am the God of Israel that calls you by name. What is it that you haven't fully given over to the trust and lordship of Jesus in your life? Is it your fears? Maybe it's your life. Maybe it's your family. Maybe you don't know. If you ask Jesus, He'll tell you. I'm going to close with a quote from R.T. Kendall. We never need to repress what we feel when we're around Jesus. He will never scold us for our honesty. It doesn't mean we're right. But if we're being honest, He can help us and bring us to see where we're wrong and face the truth. I challenge you today. What is it you're facing that you haven't given over? Are you like me and you haven't fully trusted? I challenge you today to lay it down at the foot of the cross. See where Jesus will take you when you put your full, unwavering faith in Him. And like we learned at the very beginning, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Father God, thank You for this word. I thank You, Lord, for revealing these things to me. I thank You, God, for changing my perspective. God, I ask that You'll use my words that You gave me to change somebody's life today, Lord God. And Father, as we worship You, I just pray that You'll just set us all free. And I ask these things in the name of mighty Jesus. Amen.